Tonight we have really a joy. I mentioned already Brother Dick Saunier. He's with Amazing Grace Missions. They go to fairs all over America. And many of you remember Brother Don Biggs, who was also with Amazing Grace. And him and Kathy, when we started going to Pig on the Pond, I don't know, Pastor Farringer, has been 5 years or 6 years or something. Yeah, they contacted Dick, and he started coming, and he just took us by storm. And if you have never seen him at Pig in the Pond, you have got to come out. He teaches us. If there's anyone in the world that has the gift of evangelism, it's this man. I joke that I like to just sit in the booth and just sit at the table. And what Brother Dick does is he takes the fish and throws them in the boat. He's just taking fish and throwing them in the boat. And you can just sit there. And it's his unique demeanor that attracts people. And I know it's a gift from God. He's such a joy to have. And we're looking forward to his preaching tonight. You come, Brother Dick, and teach us from the Word of God.
Can you hear me all right? Last church I preached on about a week and a half ago, my amplifier for my hearing aids was messing up their sound system. But I have two good looking ushers up here, please. Where are the ushers? All right, just any two good looking men. That's okay. Pastor, don't you have any good looking men in this church? Okay. Open this box, please, and give everybody one of those smile faces. I'll explain what they're for after. Okay, just give one to everybody. As they're doing that, that'll be in court. Yeah, sure. Either kind, it doesn't matter. Okay. They.
Can I help?
Yeah, I guess you could. You'll pass for good looking. I will explain those when we get into the message. If I can ever get my glasses out of my pocket here. Now, normally, when I'm doing a presentation, looking support for the ministry, I usually have a miniature booth right in front of the people. I'll show them what we do at the Fairs of America. Well, wonderfully for me, I don't have to do that tonight. If there's any church that I've ever worked with that knows about how the fair ministry works, it would certainly be this church here and your pastor, okay? I've worked many, many times with him, okay? Now, I'd like you to turn first to Acts 17:17. The reason I'm having you turn there first, before we even get into the message, is that you would not be surprised, you would be surprised at the comments I get when I go into church to show them about winning souls at the fair. Things like, well, how many at the fair are really saved? I don't know. I bet you even Pastor Folly can't tell you how many people are really saved in this church, can they? Okay. It doesn't matter. Our job is not to decide whether they're saved. Our job is just to give them the gospel. Okay. I've had a man tell me, and I'm calling for a meeting, you have no business going to the fair. It's worldly entertainment. No, my friends, it's scriptural. Pastor, would you read that Acts 17:17 for me, please? Do you have a Bible? Oh, yeah, you got one, okay.
Thank you.
There you go, my friends. If pig in the pond is not a market, I don't know what is. And it's not the only fair that sells pigs, by the way. Okay? Now, you folks know, because you live here, that pig in the pond is about roasting pigs. Well, let me give you a little background first before I get into any of this, okay? I was born and brought up a Roman Catholic. My city I lived in, I was born in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Okay. 95% of the people in town were all Catholic. Okay. I didn't get saved until I was 35 years old. I got called to preach the day I got saved and didn't answer it for years. I kept telling, no God, no God, no God. Okay. I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. Okay. But that being the case, okay, I was a small town politician. I owned two or three businesses. And then I got saved. And God changed my profession. Okay. I didn't even answer the call then. Okay. It was a while before I took the call. And the reason for that is that I really did not want to be a preacher. Okay? But I'm 22 years retired Navy welder. I spent 4 years in an aircraft carrier and the rest of the years in the Seabees, but welding in both places. Okay? So by trade, I'm a welder. But by conviction, I'm a preacher. But by desire, I'm a stand-up comic. Okay? I had to tell you that ahead of time, okay, because some of the things that happen are really funny, okay, and that's at the fairs and everything in my life, okay. That being the case, okay, that's why I wanted you to read Acts 17:17, because I have people that will say we have no business going to the fair. I don't think there's anybody in this church like that. But I have to make sure, because you never know that somebody might give the pastor a hard time and say, in fact, this is a church, I can't remember where it is. Even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But the head deacon come up to the pastor and says, why are we helping out Amazing Grace Mission? He says, well, brother, he says, our goal is to reach people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you take care of the pulpit, and I'll take care of the church. And he said, well, show me that in the scriptures, brother. He says, I don't need it in the scriptures. I got it in the bylaws. The pastor resigned his church over it. Okay? Yes, what this church is doing out at the fairs is scriptural. But not only that, okay, this message tonight is going to be aimed mostly at myself and Pastor Folly and any other preachers in this church. But it applies to lost people, to church people also, okay? All right. The reason I go around and raise support from churches is that I've got a small Navy pension, I got my Social Security, I got a house that's paid for, and I could live at home quite comfortably, just sit and watch the grass grow. But God is always, always after me. When I surrendered the Amazing Grace Mission, I asked God for 20 years. And he laughed. I didn't know what he was laughing at, because I've been with Amazing Grace Mission now 31 years and he won't let me quit. Okay? It's a very profitable ministry. But you have to be called to it to do it full time. But you don't have to be called to work out at the fair. When your pastor and Pastor Jeff ask for people out there at the fair, give them a hand. It's not just for pastors and preachers. This is not the message yet. This is just the introduction. Okay? As I said, when I first got saved, I told my pastor, don't ask me to tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your job. That's what you get paid for. Now, that's not true. But I didn't know any better. But I had a very smart pastor. He says, Dick, he says, if Jesus was standing next to you and said, would you go over and tell that man about me? Would you do it? What have I got to lose? Jesus is not going to stand next to me, is he? Not when you've only been saved a month. He says, that's great. He said, now, if the Holy Spirit told you, go over and tell him. Well, I didn't even know the Holy Spirit lived in me after 1 month of being saved. What have I got to lose? I might as well stand, I might as well sound spiritual. Yeah, sure, I'd go. He says, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to your to your heart today, I will have done my job here tonight if I not say another word. And that's what I'm looking for, my friends. Just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Okay? He took me to see another pastor preach, and he preached on soul winning, and here I am, 35 years old, and I cried like a baby. He tried to comfort me, and I said, no, no, leave me alone, leave me alone. All the way home on the bus, I wept because the Holy Spirit had reached my heart. And that's my goal tonight, to let the Holy Spirit change your heart. I'm not ever satisfied with my preaching. I always get home and think, I could have done this better, I could have done that better. But here is the sweet, sweet part of all this. There's nothing I can do out here. Only the Holy Spirit can move your heart. I have preached in over 400 different churches in 18 states, 20 states maybe, I forget. Maybe more than that because this has started way before computers. Okay? And so, that being the case, even though I'm not happy with my preaching, the Lord has used me. And I want to be used of the Lord. And I want you folks to pray about being used for the Lord. Now, I never preach on marriage and women because I don't know enough about it. And I'll give you an example. Last year when I was over here, I used your prophet's chamber, which is the nicest one going and of all that I stayed in. And on top of that, it's the quietest one. Okay. But while I was here last year, I had this dream. And God appeared to me and says, Dick, you don't deserve this. But I want to show you my love and my mercy, my grace. So I'm going to grant you any wish that you want. I said, that's great, God. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. My wife doesn't like to fly. I don't want to go by boat. Just build me a bridge all the way from Florida to Hawaii. And God said, well, that's no problem for me. He said, now, man couldn't do that. He couldn't get those pears down to the bottom of the ocean. But for me, it's a piece of cake. He said, but that's a little selfish. Pray for something that would help your fellow man. And I said, oh, I got it, God. I got it. I always wanted to have a ministry to husbands. I want to be able to teach them how to have that loving relationship that Virginia and I have. And God said, would that be a two-lane bridge or a four-lane bridge? Some things are even too hard for God, isn't it? No, that's just joking, of course. Another thing I don't preach about is politics. Okay? And I had a problem with that because I hate the way our country is growing. But I prayed about it and prayed about it, and this is what God gave me. I only have two tools. And you only have two tools. One is one vote. And the second one is the gospel. All the lifestyle evangelism is not going to change this world in this country. The gospel will. Bring them to the gospel. I don't preach on politics, but I'd like to add this. I think all the women in the church are beautiful. I think all the women in America is beautiful. I think all the women in the world are beautiful, except for Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi. Now, we're ready to get into the message. If you would turn, please, to... John 4:23. And after I pray, we'll head there, okay? By the way, the other reason I don't preach on husbands and wives and marriage, I think it's the pastor's job. He knows his people, okay? But I would like to ask this. If there's a young man in this church or an old man that's thinking about marriage, look for one thing. One thing. A woman that's sold out for God. I don't care if she's rich, poor, good cook, bad cook, nothing else. Get sold out for God and everything else will fall in its place. And boy, did it for me. Most wonderful gift God ever given me outside of salvation is my wonderful, wonderful wife, Virginia. She traveled with me for 25 years. She got muscular cirrhosis. We had the lift put on the RV. And she was so wonderful with teenage girls, okay? And with other people, too, but especially with teenage girls, okay? Believe it or not, I could witness to Biden if he walked in here right now. I could witness to him just as easy as I could anybody else. The ones that gives me the most trouble is teenage girls. Teenage girls, when they're nervous, giggle. It doesn't mean they're not sincere, but it rattles me a little bit. My wife says, doesn't bother me in the least. She says, I'll go along giggle rolling with them. I remember one case where she had this young girl. She says, now, what's your name? And think about this if you work out at the fair. You get their name first, make it personal, okay? Hold their attention. And she says, now, what's your name? She says, Brie. He says, oh, that's my favorite cheese. And they all giggle together. Leave them go, right? But here's the thing, my friend. God never makes mistakes, but there's something that I would not have chosen on my own. And that's for my wife, fell in the bathroom with muscular cirrhosis and shattered her leg. They have to amputate it. But that woman, in 1 year, in one building, with one leg, has witnessed to more people than some people do in a lifetime. What a wonderful, wonderful gift God has given me. I call her every day on picture phone. Make her laugh, make her happy, tell her how much I love her, okay? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, before I bring this message that you've given me, I ask, dear God, that you would just open up the hearts and minds of everyone here, starting with me, my friends, my Lord, starting with me. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, which seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples, one to another, had any man brought him to eat, ought to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field that's white for harvest. That's what I want to do. That's what I want you to do. Listen. This message starts with me. I guarantee you, any preacher I know, whatever message he preaches, the Holy Spirit speaks to him too. Isn't that right, Pastor? Yes, it talks to us. So this message is for me, it's for Pastor Farley, and any other preachers in here. But it will apply to you folks also. Okay. When Virginia and I started out in the ministry 31 years ago, we made our first trip up to New England, where the natives were friendly. And if we could hand out a tract, of course we would hand out a tract. If we could witness, we'd try to witness. See, everybody in Florida, though, everybody in New England is coming to Florida one time or another. Okay. But there are times when we could not witness, we could not hand out a tract. As a last resort, I would give them my prayer card. You know what's wrong with that prayer card, my friends? It doesn't have any verses on the back to talk about salvation. It's not that I did not want to witness. I did. I was up there. I wanted to. That's my life. That's my ministry. I just did not see the fields that were white for harvest. What we did after that, we printed another tract. And it says, if you come to Florida, please stop by and visit with us. Okay? Now that I've invited you to my earthly home, let me invite you to my heavenly home. Hallelujah, my friends. Hallelujah. Listen, open your eyes and look on the fields that's white for harvest. It's not that I didn't want to witness. I just did not open my eyes. And you know, that's not the end of it. Not the beginning of it. God started opening my eyes. This was before the computer era. And either word is applicable, isn't it? And we went to the library looking up churches and names and phone numbers. And we were also out that day, Virginia and I, inviting people to Memorial Baptist Church, my sending church in Florida, to a revival we're having. And we're coming out, we get the information we wanted, and we're going over to invite the certain couple that we knew. And there was a street person out there. And he says, could I have 50 cents for a cup of coffee? And I handed him a tract. Now, my friends, I am all for handing out tracts. If you're in a supermarket line and there's five people behind you, or even one person, that's not the time to hand out a tract. I mean, that's not the time to pull out your Bible. That's the time to hand out a tract. But here I am, and I hand him a tract, and he says, I can't read. I said, Lord, have mercy. I didn't want to hand out tracts. I didn't think they worked. But you show me how they can be used. And you show me how people get saved from that. And you can't even send me somebody that reads. He says, just show them the gospel, dummy. So don't do like this dummy here did. That's the time when you're one-on-one. And the Holy Spirit's talking to you. You can hand them a tract. Okay? I mean you can give them the gospel. If you're opening your eyes and you see it's a field as white for harvest, and they're all around us. They're all around us. There's a sheriff's deputy, Bellevue, Florida. He's just like you people. He loves the Lord, sings in a choir, sings solos. But he never once opened his mouth. In the back of his squad car, he had a captive audience. Pardon the pun. But the Lord lifted his eyes. And he's seen that field that's white for harvest. And he started giving the gospel to all those that would listen. Oh, my friends, lift your eyes. Look on the field that's white for harvest. You see, my friends, the average Christian, you and me included, Pastor Folly, and any other preacher in here and everybody in here, do not witness to people for the same reason. Excuse me, they don't find anybody to witness to for the same reason. They're not looking for one. Listen, if you set in your mind that is your job to give out the gospel, okay, I start every morning with this prayer. Lord, this day, give me somebody to witness to and the boldness to witness to them. About the group that I have led more to the Lord than any others is waitresses. But I'm looking for a wait. I often go into restaurants late at night because I'm on the road anyways. And now, if they're real busy, you can't, you know, they don't get paid to listen to you preach. But if it's one-on-one type of thing, there's nobody else in the restaurant, and you, Lord, open the door. Give me somebody to witness to, Lord. And I give you an example. There's nobody else except the cook and the waitress. And I'm reading a newspaper. And the waitress says, that's terrible what they're doing to Clinton. This is another thing you have to be careful. At least I do. Maybe you don't. Okay, and that's don't get into politics. You're not there to change the world and the country. You're there to see somebody that's lost come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to say some political things, but I held back and I said, well, the wonderful thing about the Lord, about God, they're not going to hold you responsible. He's not going to hold you responsible for what they did to Clinton. Yeah. I says, but he will hold you responsible what you do with the blood. He says, huh? Hallelujah. That's my opening. That's my opening. And so, of course, I carry a Bible with me. And I was able to show her the wonderful story how Jesus died and shed his blood so that we could get to heaven. Okay? As I said, most of the people, the biggest group of people I witness to is waitresses. So I go to a lot of truck stops. And I goes into one and I said to the waitress, I says, I want 2 running boards, 2 headlights, and 2 flat tires. And she says, okay. I said, well, you know what I want? She says, of course. She says, this is a truck stop. 2 headlights, it's 2 eggs up sunny, 2 running boards, and 2 strips of bacon, and 2 flat tires is 2 pancakes. And she took my order, and she come back with a bowl of beans. I says, I didn't order that. She says, I know, but while you're waiting for your headlights and your flat tires and your running board, she says, you might as well gas up. Now, the second part, I'm sure you're bright enough to figure out was just a joke. But that doesn't mean God has other ways that you could witness to waitresses. But there's many, many other ways. Okay, I handed out a smile face, or I had the ushers do it, to everybody in here. I'm all for a good track, such as this one over here. My wife was in a wheelchair, electric scooter, and all I had the handicap symbol on it. Even though I had used my other track many times, I had not seen the field that was white for harvest. Everybody, a lot of people would hold the door for my wife, and after they did, I would give them this track here. And I said, thank you for helping the handicap. If there was more people like you in this country, what a better country we'd have. But there's some ways that we can't help ourselves. And that's that none of us can do anything that are in heaven. And it goes on with the plan of salvation. Lift your eyes and look on the fields that are white for harvest. I gave those smile faces out. Everybody got one? Okay. Here, how it works very, very well. Now, you can hand it to anybody. There's a famous preacher, he's dead, I don't remember, he used to put tracks underneath the doors of the men's room. Do you remember who that was? He was an alcoholic, burnt his baby shoes. No, I don't remember his name either. Okay. Anyways, and so, yes, you can give it to about anybody. But here's what works good for me, okay? After I pay my bill for gasoline or food, motels, I'll say, has anybody given you a smile today? Nellie said, no. Oh, yeah, a couple have. I says, has anybody given you one that you can hold? Huh? And I give him that smile face. Okay. Doing a fair, I do a big fair in Beaumont, Texas. Okay. In the year that this happened, I-10 was underwater. I had to go 1,000 miles out of my way to get to that fair. I wasn't happy until I prayed about it. And I said, come on, dummy. Look how many more gas stations and restaurants and motels that you'd be stopping at. And one of them was so cute. The young girl, the cashier for my motel, I says, has anybody given you a smile you can hold? She says, no. And I gave it to her. She looked at it and bright eyes. Wow. She says, nobody has ever given me one I can hold. Hallelujah, my friends. Lift your eyes and look on the fields that's ripe for harvest. They're all around us. Okay. And I'm as guilty as anybody. Okay. Listen. When they took my wife to the emergency room with a shattered leg, I wasn't looking somebody to witness to. See, what happens in our lives is things detain us, huh? You heard the story about the man that was, he made a quote, and he says, success in life is keeping your eyes on the goal that you have. But you know what? If your goal is to drain the swamp, it's hard to keep your mind on the goal when you're up to your ears in alligators. So it happens to all of us. I'm not criticizing anybody except maybe me, because I know better. I preach it. I live it. I want it. And yet things distract me. But get back on that course. Look for something where you can see the field that's white for harvest. Okay. I'm going to close with this. Now, I don't know about your pastor. I've only heard him preach, I think, one time. But my pastor is wonderful. When he says, I'm going to close with this, we know we only have 20 minutes more to go. Sometimes God will give you a field that's white for harvest that is not really convenient. This is the true story. My wife and I were doing a fair in Conroe, Texas. And all of a sudden, she decided that something at Lowe's that we couldn't possibly live without. So obviously, being a good husband, I took her to Lowe's. When we came out, there was a lady trying to get an air conditioner in the back of her car. They could not fit it in the trunk. They could not fit it in the back doors. And then I heard somebody say, I'll deliver it. And I turned around and found out that was me. I says, Lord, don't fool around like that. That's not funny. And she says, oh, thank you so much. She says, my mama is very sick, and this heat is making it worse. And she says, but it's 25 miles. And I said, that's okay. In my head, I said, see, God? See what you just got me into? However, I could not get my wife's scooter in the truck and the air conditioner at the same time. So I said to my wife, would you mind going back into Lowe's and staying there while I deliver this truck, this air conditioner? Now my faith was really tested. I could not believe my wife said this. It still pains me just to think about it. And she smiles and says, yes, give me a credit card. The bottom line of the story is, you think that woman would not let me witness to her? Huh? Believe me. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields that ripe for harvest and start your day off with Lord, this day, give me somebody to witness to and the boldness to witness to them. Dear Heavenly Father, I brought this quick little message to the best of my ability. I pray, dear God, you work on every single heart here, starting with my own. I pray, dear God, that you would be working in the minds and hearts of people out at the fair on both sides of the table, Lord. We both have to be prepared, both sides of the table. But in Jesus' precious, precious name, I pray. Pastor, would you take the service, please?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Dick. It's hard to look up and see the field white for harvest when we're all looking down like this. You know what this is? I was at... We were at a restaurant one time. We were taking... This is going back maybe a year, maybe 2 years. And it was like a Olive Garden. It was my wife and I. Taking my mom to dinner one night. So anyway, we're sitting down in the little booth, and there was a big table, and it was some family. And you know how they have the big table. It must have been, I don't know, 8 to 10 people. I am not exaggerating at all. Every single person at that big round table, they all had a phone out. They all had their heads down like this. And they were all doing whatever on their phones. And we just really got the biggest chuckle out of that. We just really thought it was so funny. It's like, here you are at a nice restaurant, spending time, and all you guys are all, your heads are all somewhere else. You're all together, but you're not together. It's crazy. And that's how we are, Brother Dick, that's how we are today. We can't look up and see the field white for harvest because our head's in the clouds or it's down in the phone. I'm going to read this verse again. I really enjoyed you beginning with Acts 17:17. And I'm going to read it again because now there's a microphone in front of me. Therefore disputed he, this would be Paul, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. And so the Apostle Paul, what he did, and I'm really convinced of this, if he was around today, you know what he would be using to share the gospel? Anything he could get his hands on. He'd use Facebook, he'd use markets, he'd use tracts, he'd go to Publix. You wouldn't want to get behind Paul in the checkout line at Publix. Because he'd be, you know, slowing everything down, talking to people and handing out tracts and stuff. I want to challenge all of us. You just received a tract. So now it is your responsibility to hand that tract to not someone in your family and not someone in the... You can't go out here and all trade it. We can't hand it to each other. Okay. It's all of our responsibility. I'm putting this on me too, Brother Dick. We all have to go out and hand this out. Now, you don't have to do it tonight, okay? You get a reprieve. You can at least go home. But in the next 24, 48 hours, we need to hand this out to somebody. Yes, Brother Dick.
Preaching in the morning and then at night. I did it in the morning, and one of the ladies came back so excited. Somebody read it right while she was giving it to him. He says, what does all this mean? And she was able to lead him to the Lord.
Yeah, amen, amen. We've done so many different things, door knocking. One time we handed out water bottles. We had this, it was like a Chick-fil-A day or something. And we had a booth, and we had stickers on these water bottles that had the gospel. I handed a water bottle to a lady. She must have been an atheist. And she walked about 10 paces. She literally, in my sight, ripped the label off and crumpled it in a very dramatic fashion and, like, threw it onto the ground. I mean, sometimes you will get those bad actors, but they're not attacking you. Their fight's not with you. It's against God. Most of the time, 95% or more of the time, I'll get at least a thank you. I'll say, hey, here's a copy of the gospel straight from the Bible. And the person will say, thank you. You know, and they're not going to be mad at you. And then if the person stops and asks a question, you'll be able to witness. I'm telling you, I've had so many people say, I just don't know what to say. Actually, I'm going to challenge everyone here and everybody watching. What I actually think is I think you actually know what to say. I don't know the Romans Road. You don't even have to say the Romans Road. You know what you have to say? You have to say is, how did Jesus Christ change your life? Your personal testimony is your number one presentation of the gospel. If you're not saved, obviously, it's going to be really hard for you to share the gospel. So I'm only talking to saved people. If you've been saved, then you have experience with the gospel and with the Savior. So all you got to do is tell people what Jesus did for you. Well, that's not persuasive, Pastor Farley. Apparently, Jesus thinks it is. So that's your lead. Now, you know, I do recommend that you know Bible verses. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:10. Those are all good verses to know, to memorize, or even to, on a card like this, you can, oh, here they are, written right here. And you can just read them out to the person. Jesus will forgive your sins and save you today. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the point is that my confession is this, Brother Dick. When I go to Publix, I am a man on a mission. I go, I know where the coffee is. I know where the yogurt is. I know where the BOGO with the cereal. I know where the chick patties are and the pizza rolls. And I'm like, boom, 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 go to the checkout, boom, 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 and get out the door, because that's how men think. And I really have to try hard to slow down and allow myself just to talk to people and interact with people. And I know people, a lot of times in our culture, they don't want to talk, they don't want to interact. But what you have to do is allow yourself to just go ahead and start the conversation. The thing that I have always enjoyed about Brother Dick is there, I talked about throwing fish in the boat, and I know that sounded obscure, but what it means is that there'll be like a group of teenagers or people coming over, and then he'll stop them all. And I don't know what he's saying to them, but they're all laughing and all this, and he'll say, come on here, and he'll stop them. And so, you know, not everyone is like this man, but you are who you are because God made you that way. And so you just do it your way. You just stop and talk to people. Are some people going to put you off? Are some people going to rip the label and throw it on the ground? Are some people going to take your track and walk past the garbage can and throw it out? Yeah, but that's on them. A long time when I first started being with... is it okay if I talk here? Is it okay? I was talking to a pastor. It was Pastor Steve Ware, who came here and preached here not long ago. I said, Pastor Steve, I feel really bad because I remember I was at work and I called him at the church, and I said, I haven't won souls. I haven't won that many souls to Christ, and I feel really ashamed, and I'm really troubled about it. And he said, and this was such a, as a young Christian, it was such an eye opener to me. He said, Tom, you're not, he who winneth souls and wise is wise. True. But he said, you're not commanded to win souls. He said, you're commanded to be a witness. You know, whether they receive Christ, that's on them. And yeah, it is wonderful to lead someone to Christ. And the more you witness, the more comfortable you get with it, and the more you find your own sort of comfort level on how you share the gospel and what verses you use and all that kind of thing, the more you do it, the more comfortable it gets. But the decision is always with that person. So, you know, it's the challenge for you and I is to interact with people, find them where they're at, just like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, what are you reading? He started where that man was at. He came beside him. Paul went to the market. We find the people wherever they're at, in our sphere of influence, in your workplace, at Walt Disney World right now, that is spiraling out of control, by the way. I had a Bible study for 8 years. And in my office, in the conference room, for 8 years I was able to share the gospel in my place of work, and people were telling me, how are you doing this? And it was really the simplest thing in the world. And all I'm challenging us to do is do two things. First, find that place in your sphere of influence in your world. Like the Loves, they have the car show. You know, where in the Bible does it say share the gospel at car shows? Well, where in the Bible it talks about sharing the gospel is where you're at. So they are literally doing what God has told us to do in Scripture. You find that creative place in your life. The second thing is the church, what we try to do is create these moments where we can facilitate it for the church. And that's pigging the pond. If you are physically not able to go, we understand that. You pray for us being there. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I've seen the sign-up sheet, and I'm really encouraged by the folks that are going. Brother Dick's going to be there. We have another couple with Amazing Grace that are going to be there. You pray for the folks that will be handing out tracts, that will be explaining the gospel, that will be sharing the gospel with individuals, leading them to the Lord. And you know, I can just still see, Brother Dick, the people, the young guys that I would sit with and share the gospel with. I can still see their faces. And I'm just shocked all the time at how little people nowadays even know about the gospel. And it's like the first time they've ever heard it clearly. So avail yourself. Pray for us and pray for the Pig on the Pond initiative. And I want to say publicly, thank you, Brother Dick, for helping us with this. And thank you for preaching to us tonight. Amen. Well, after the service, you have any questions for Brother Dick, he'll be around. So do spend a little time if you can. Let's join our hearts together and pray and thank the Lord for this evening. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the challenge that you've given to us. Sin came into the world because of our disobedience, Lord, through our father Adam. Sin came by one man, but the remedy for sin came through one man also, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not the angel's responsibility to preach the gospel. That responsibility has been given to us, and it's in our possession, Lord, and we need to take it into the world, our own world, our personal world, to our families, to our workplaces, to our neighborhoods, Lord, and through our church. Lord, we thank you for the online community and the ability that we have so uniquely to broadcast our services and reach out to people on the different media. Lord, we just thank you for that ability to do that. I thank you, Lord, that we're situated on Highway 27, and right now cars are driving by, and they see they see our cars, they see the sign on, and they know that there's a church meeting, and they know we're preaching the gospel. I pray that as our porch light is always on, folks will someday come by, and they know that the gospel is here. Empower this church, Lord. On our prayer list, we pray for revival in our land. And I pray, Lord, that we and Open Door Baptist Church can be part of it, especially this weekend during Pig in the Pond. Bless our efforts. Guide us always. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night.